السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, I want to take in a few more of the ashar of Hazrat Khwaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, because it clearly shows the condition of the Muslim Ummah and what the Muslim Ummah should be doing and what they are doing. Now, we are all part of the Muslim Ummah. Therefore, when we are discussing the weakness or the shortcomings in the Ummah, then it is actually our weakness, our shortcomings. But it is very relevant. Because of this weakness that we have, we can't seem to be succeeding anywhere. No matter how much the Muslim Ummah tries, no matter how much effort it makes, but it seems like it's going in reverse direction. So we've already discussed quite a bit of what the problems are. Let us proceed and see if we can conclude, because we want to discuss some other topics. Inshallah.
کریں یہ بت تمہاری لاکھ گو ظاہر میں دلداری کریں یہ بت تمہاری لاکھ گو ظاہر میں دلداری نہ آنا ان کے دھوکے میں سمجھنا اس کو مکاری.
How beautifully puts it.
کریں یہ بت تمہاری لاکھ گو ظاہر میں دلداری نہ آنا ان کے دھوکے میں سمجھنا اس کو مکاری. یہ بت ہیں ان کی دلداری بھی ہے ازراہ عیاری یہ بت ہیں ان کی دلداری بھی ہے ازراہ عیاری کریں گے پھر جفاکاری ستمگاری دل آزاری کریں گے پھر جفاکاری ستمگاری دل آزاری مسلمانوں اٹھو بحر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ.
It says no matter how much, I'm giving an explanation of what he's saying, that no matter how much these nations, he calls them but, no matter how much these nations assist you, help you, they give you aid, they put up your projects, your debts, which you are owing to them all the monies, then they bankroll it, they say, right, we waive off those debts. No matter how much they sing your praises, no matter how much they invite you to the White House, where the blackest of all deeds take place. So no matter how much they invite you to the United States and to the United Nations and conferences and everything else, but he says, don't be trapped Don't be caught in their webs of deception. These are their webs of deception. They have no real love for you. He says their help and their assistance and their compassion and their kindness is all mischief. There's nothing behind it except mischief. Or they've got some matlab behind it. There is motivation. There's greed. They are eyeing your oil wells. They are eyeing your wealth, whether it's copper or it's gold or it's uranium or oil. That is why they give you all those promises, or that is why they make those promises and they show so much of compassion and kindness and they give you so much of assistance and so much of handshakes. He says, don't get caught up in their webs of deception. Sooner or later you will see the result of this friendship. This friendship which is based on nothing but matlab and deception, sooner or later you will see the effects of that. How they will unleash their anger upon you, and they will do injustice of a kind that even shaitan will feel ashamed of. The destruction that they will bring upon your lives and your properties and your wealth, the destruction that will bring to your lands, the injustice will be of a kind that you haven't heard of in the past. Now he said this at that time. How true it is. Where is the friendship? All those who were the blue-eyed boys of the United States, but if they just turned a little against them, or did not join the alliance, or did not join the coalition, then what happened to them? So therefore he says that we must be very, very careful, very cautious. He's appealing, he's pleading that we are Muslim Ummah. How long are we going to remain asleep? Bohat soye, bohat soye, basab jago, basab jago. Tumhare ghar mein choro ne lagai hai naqab jago. Tumhara ye liye jate hai maal asbab sab jago. پڑے ہو اب بھی غافل کر رہے ہو کیا غضب جاگو بہت سوئے بس اب جاگو بس اب جاگو ہاں you can hear the plea coming out from the depths of his heart. They were Allah walas. They had great feeling for the ummat of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Every Allah wala will have great feeling for the ummat of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. People think that only if you take some placards and go and stand on the streets and jump and dance, then they have got great feeling for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But go and look at them in the late part of the night or the early part of the morning when they are in sajda before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or go and hear their du'as at the multazam quietly when they are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or listen to the pleadings from their hearts under the Mizab-e Rahmat, or behind the Maqam-e Ibrahim, or in Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, then we will know how much of feeling they have for the Ummat. Of course, it does not mean that they only make dua and nothing else. Who has been leading the Ummah in the past? But there is an occasion for everything. And the Quran and Sunnah guides when what should be done. And every person cannot be doing everything. There will be what we term as taqseem-e-kar, distribution of work. Different people will have to do different things. Islam requires soldiers, Islam requires muftis, Islam requires alims, kuffaz, qurra, Islam requires people in every department. Islam and the Muslim Ummah requires scientists, doctors, all are required, businessmen. We should not be a community dependent on others. it has made it farz kifaya that in a community, Muslim community, there must be some doctors, there must be some teachers, there must be some scientists, there must be some businessmen. It becomes farz kifaya. If every person in the country says, I'm going to become an alim, open the Darul Ulooms for us, and no more we're going to run any business, we're all going to sit down in the Darul Ulum, then the muftis will have to give fatwa that is not jaiz. Imagine, you'll have to give fatwa that is not jaiz, that everybody go and sit down in the Darul Ulum. But at the same time, the person must not be misled into believing that whatever he is doing is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala because it is in the name of deen. We have to be certain that it is sanctioned by deen. Otherwise, in the name of deen, there are many, many programs taking place. In the name of deen, you can go around the world and you will just hear nothing but Islam, Islam, Islam. But how much of Islam is there in their lives? And what kind of Islam do they want people to follow? An Islam which is compatible with the nafs, or which is led by the nafs, that is not Islam. So if it is done within the parameters of Sharia, then in every field people are required. So we must not become a nation that is dependent on others. We must give people encouragement to seek knowledge, to go ahead, learn, qualify. But at the same time, first and foremost is that the person must be a Muslim. The person must first be a Muslim at heart. So he says, Karenge fir jafakari sitamgari dil azari. After that they will hurt you. They will cause injury. They will cause pain. They will cause you great suffering. They will make your life miserable. Those very people who were giving you aid and help and assistance and building up your halls and putting up your projects and distributing hampers to your poor and needy and saying that we've got great feelings and for the poor of your country. After that, when they will not get their matlab fulfilled, then that's what they are going to do. So how long, O Muslim Ummah, are you going to remain asleep? Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao. No more time to remain negligent and indifferent to what is happening around. Get up. How many articles do we have to read about what is happening before we get up from our sleep? One is on the international, national level. We're talking about our homes and our own lives. How many articles do we have to read? Or how many stories do we have to listen to? Or how many people's disastrous episodes do we have to first hear? Then we are going to take some action of getting rid of those evils from our homes. 10-year-old children, 9-year-old children shooting their parents, strangling their mothers, booting their fathers, drinking, committing fornication, or committing rape, little children. And now those very people are admitting that the cause of all this is all the porn that is found on the television and on the internet sites, and because of that, children are experimenting. So now we will wait, na'uzubillah, until our children do something wrong, then we will say that, now beat the child up. What's the sense of beating the child up then? Haven't we read recently what incidents are taking place? How much must we wait for? Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Listening is not sufficient. Get up now for action, he says. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao. Be very sharp, be very alert. What our children are reading, what they are doing, where they are going. But I always say that unfortunately at present it's we who have to be told where we are going, what we are doing, what we are watching, what we are reading, what haram actions we are indulging in, which dark alleys we are visiting. Then only we can tell the children. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao, nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao. It is no more time to be negligent, bas ab bedar ho jao. Now get up. Bahut soye, bahut soye. Bas ab jago, bas ab jago. Tumhara har amal jab laiqe khairul umam hoga. Tumhara har amal jab laiqe khairul umam hoga. Tumhare qalb ka jab ye sanam khana haram hoga. Tumhare haath mein jab deen khalis ka alam hoga. Jab ye parcham ke niche phir arab hoga ajam hoga. Jab ye parcham ke niche phir arab hoga ajam hoga. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao. Tumhara har amal jab laaye ke khairul umam hoga. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, kuntum khaira ummatin, you are the best of ummats. Ukhrijat linnas, taken out for the benefit of mankind. And then Allah Ta'ala says, why? What are those special qualities that you have? What are those special sifats of this khairul umam? That they make amar bil maruf, they make nahi anil munkar, and they believe in Allah. So this is no exclusivity business that only a certain group must make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. The ulama must make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. The tabligh jamaat must make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. The khanqahs must make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. It's the duty of every Muslim to make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. The methods will be different, or the occasions and places are going to be different, individually, collectively, whatever the occasion demands. Person will have to make amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar to his children, to his wives, to his family members, to the society. But he has to see the occasion and see the person when he's making amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar, that he must not just take like a brick and throw it at the person's head. But wherever the person has got some authority to restrain somebody from haram or to encourage the person to do good, then that is what he will have to do. And this is something that we have neglected totally in our lives, or to a large extent, that we have just given up this whole business of making amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. We have just stopped telling people, do this, this is right, or stay away from this, this is haram. We have stopped saying it to our children, to our families, and we don't have the himmat to say it because we ourselves are not practicing. That is the whole reason. That we don't have the himmat. How can we have the courage to say something to somebody when we are not practicing? Immediately that person says that, mind your own business, see what you are doing. To finish, the person cannot say anything. That is why our words are heard with much respect when we are outside our countries and outside our areas and outside our cities and towns, and where nobody knows us, what our dealings are like and what our dandas are like and what our evil actions are like, where nobody knows us. So there they look at our zahir and they give us a lot of respect. Maulana sahab aayye, Hazrat aayye, tashrif laayye and all that. They look at us. But if we are living in a town, in a city, what do those people say about us? What do our neighbors say about us? What do our wives say about us? What do our brothers and sisters say about us? I'm not talking of those who have enmity at heart and they've got jealousy. Then they will always talk bad. Whether the person flies in the air to his, they'll still say he's flying crooked. So we're not talking about that. They will still say he's flying crooked. I'm talking about those who've got no enmity, but they know us. They are close to us. They sit with us. They eat with us. They talk to us. They meet us in the masjids, in the bazaars, in the, they trade with us in the marketplaces. We are indebted to them, or they are indebted to us. What opinion do they hold of us? Do they hold that opinion that alhamdulillah we are very, very good, pious, God fearing people? Or they have some other kind of opinions after our trade with them, after our relationship with them? So far away we can go and we can deceive a lot of people. And in fact sometimes that creates more pride in the person's heart. And the person truly believes that he is like that. When too many people shake his hands because they don't know him. If I have to go out from here to another town, another city, another country and give some very powerful speeches and flowery bayans, so now the people will think some great Hazrat Wala came, so now they will shake my hands and kiss my forehead and make wah wah. And so I truly after that begin to believe that indeed I must be somebody. Otherwise why should so many people crowd around me and shake my hands? And I forget that in my area what is the opinion of people about me. What does my wife think of me, and what do my children think of me, and what do my neighbors think of me? I forget. Again that example, and what does it cost to repeat it 1,000 times if we learn a lesson from it? That person was sick and tired of that horse which he was riding. He was sick and tired because it was always throwing him out, not giving him a good ride and not taking him to his destination properly. So he decided to go and sell it at the auction sale. But when that auctioneer began to praise that horse, rides like a Rolls Royce, what a ride it gives you, no bumps. Flies at this faster than the speed of sound. And when the as the best horse in the market, you'll never get another one like this again coming in the auction sale. So that person who brought it there, after having tested it so many years, he says, if this horse is so good, then why should I sell it? So he takes it back home. So the praises of the auctioneer made him believe something that he knew was not the correct thing. All his years' experiences he forgot just because of those few praises that he got from the auctioneer for his horse. Just like that, we have tested this nafs of ours. Day and night we test it to how many haram places it has taken us, and how much of temptations we fall for, and how much of evil we indulge in, and how much of negligence we show with regards to our salat and with our ibadat and with our zikr and tilawat, and how much of haram indulgence with our eyes and with our ears and with our tongues and with our hands and feet, and how much of haram fantasizing with our minds. We know our nafs so well. But then just one flowery speech we go and give somewhere and somebody shakes our hands or gives us a few praises for the beautiful article we wrote in some newspaper or in some magazine in reply to somebody's criticism of Islam, or we did some social work or we did any other kind of dini activity and we are carried away that I have gone above the seventh heaven now. Our nafs is a shaitan. It made shaitan into shaitan, this nafs. Wow. And that is what we don't want to fight. Again, how many times I have said this, that it's easy today to go to the Kruger National Park, take a gun and go and shoot the lion, go and shoot the elephant, go and shoot some cheetah or any other ferocious animal. It's easy. But to shoot this nafs, it's not easy. The person has to really make mujahada. To discipline this nafs requires a lot of mujahada. In the early stages, a lot of mujahada is required. Go against the sayings of the, and the demands of the nafs. Go on suppressing the nafs and its evil demands. Give it plenty of halal so that it doesn't go for haram. In these days, give it some halal so that it doesn't go for the haram. But suppress its haram desires. It's haram demands. Then when the person will get into the habit, then it will become easy. Then he's not going to even miss those evils that are taking place around him. In fact, it will be very difficult for him to indulge in those evils. be very, very difficult. So therefore he says, Tumhara har amal jab laike khairul umam hoga. When all your actions and deeds will be worthy, will make you worthy of the title of khairul umam, that you are the best of nations. When your actions will make you worthy of that. Tumhare qalb ka jab ye sanam khana-e haram hoga. This sanam khana that we have made, our hearts which we have made filled with idols, because our khahishat are idols, our evil khahishat, afara'aita man ittakhaza ilahahu hawa. So they are idols. So he said, when we are going to take those idols out from our hearts and bring the haram inside, meaning obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When we will take the idols of khahishat, evil desires, out, suppress them, and make our hearts into the haram, where Allah ta'ala resides. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, the heavens and the earth and everything else cannot contain me, but the heart of a believer can. I come into that. Now all we have to do is just lower our eyes, our gazes towards our hearts and see whether it is haram or it is sanam khana, place where booths and idols are. Whose demands do we fulfill? So he says, when this will happen, that you will bring Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala into your hearts. Tumhare haath mein jab deen khalis ka alam hoga. Pure, unadulterated, khalis deen. When you are going to take the banner of khalis deen, pure deen. Deen that is Quran and Sunnah. Not deen that is the cultural lifestyles of the West. Then, under that banner, you will find the Arab and Ajam. All will come under that banner. After that, people can unite. They can only unite on the Quran and Sunnah. And that Quran and that Sunnah, which is coming down from Rasulullah's time. Then there can be differences of opinion. But differences of opinion will not disunite the community. At present, it's not difference of opinion. The thing is that the person's opinion is not based on the Quran and Sunnah. His opinion is his own whim and fancy and desire. And then somehow he tries to make it Quran and Sunnah. And then says, all must unite. Why are we not having unity? Then how can you have unity when it's not Quran and Sunnah? Those who have got Quran and Sunnah in their hearts, they will never unite with that. Even if the whole world goes against them, they will say, you can shout at the top of your voices that these people have created disunity. But when it is something that is haram, something that is forbidden, something that Sharia is totally against, for example, we say that boys, girls, young men, women, all must sit together and they do tafsir of the Quran Sharif. No parda, no hijab, no nothing. The Quran Sharif is open. I read one ayat and say, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? The boy is sitting next to the girl. And I've seen it with my own eyes, so therefore I'm not talking stories. I've seen it locally also, and I've seen it in England also, and I've seen it in America also. I was invited to one of the masjids there in England. So after the program, then we told that there's another masjid and we'll go there for another namaz. So when we went there, they said that there's the tafsir going to take place of the Quran Sharif here in the basement. They've got a very big hall there. So we went down. So the sahib at tafsir, or the mufassir sahib, he was clean shaven in suit. So they'll say, well, look there, because na'uzu billah, one person said that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to come in our times, he would have also worn jeans and shirt and he would have had a clean shaven face. He said these Maulvis are all outdated. If Nabi alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to America to preach and propagate Islam, he would have also worn jeans and shirt and have a clean shaven face. Hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So in any case, that was the Mufassir sahib. And after that, it was men, women, boys, girls, all sitting there together. There, the Quran Sharif is open, and now they're going to make tafsir, and they're going to give their own opinions. Now, if we have to walk out from there, I told that host of mine, I said, well, let's go. You saw what the tafsir is like. So now, if somebody has to say that, look, these people are creating division, they're walking out from the tafsir program, they must create unity, they must participate, they must come and sit, and they must also learn or teach in this environment. So now if somebody has to say that that is not right, then all kinds of labels and titles he will get. So they are not going to be concerned. They can be called whatever they wish to call them. But they will say that my Allah must not become displeased with me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he called towards Islam, what happened? How much of friction was caused? So we are talking about those differences of opinion which are based on the Quran and Sunnah. They don't cause division. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said something, the Shafis will follow that, Malikis will follow their mazhab, Hanabala will follow theirs, Ahnaf will follow theirs. Because that's all based on the Quran and Sunnah. We won't fight with them, they won't argue with us. That if everybody has a balanced mind. But he is saying that until we don't come under the banner of the Quran and Sunnah, we will never ever have Arab and Ajam getting together. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao, nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas bedar ho jao, nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas bedar ho jao. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind for us a deen, and that deen is a way of life. It is a way of life, morning till evening, evening till morning. We have to do certain things, we have to stay away from certain things.
Tumhari qaum ki to hai bina hi deen o ima par, tumhari qaum ki to hai bina hi deen o ima par, tumhari zindagi mauquf hai ta'meel quran par. Tumhari qaum ki to hai bina hi deen o ima par, tumhari zindagi mauquf hai ta'meel quran par. Tumhari fath ya bhi munhasir hai fazl yazdan par, tumhari fath ya bhi munhasir hai fazl yazdan par, na quwwat par na kasrat par na shaukat par na saama par, na quwwat par na kasrat par na shaukat par na saama par. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao, nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao.
He says tumhari qaum ki to hai bina hi deen o ima par. The foundation of the Muslim ummah is deen and ima. That is the foundation. All buildings you'll find that the first thing they talk about is the foundation. Is the foundation strong? They will say put extra steel in there, make the foundation strong. Because no matter how high you go, but if the foundation is not strong, the building will come down. So they say make the foundation strong. So the foundation of the Muslim Ummah is Deen and Iman. Now we are not making that Iman solid and we want to go high. So how will we be able to maintain the weight of that building? It's going to collapse because the foundation is not solid. Tumhari zindagi mauquf hai ta'meel quran par. Your life depends on obeying or following that which is in the Quran Sharif. Muslim ummah will only survive if it follows that which is in the Quran Sharif. Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that inna bihadha al-kitab yarfa'u aqwaman wa yadaw bihi akhirin. Inna Allah ta'ala bihadha al-kitab yarfa'u aqwaman wa yadaw bihi akhirin. It is with this kitab, following the Quran Sharif, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevates and raises some nations, and it is with the same Quran Sharif. When they don't follow it, disobey Allah Ta'ala, disobey the ahkam, then Allah Ta'ala brings it crushing, destroys that ummah. So he says, Tumhari zindagi mawquf hai ta'meel Quran par. Your success, he says, depends on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help and fazal. Success of the Muslims in battlefields and in all other ventures depends solely on the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. You have to have Allah Ta'ala's assistance, you have to have Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's support. Allah Ta'ala has to be on your side, then you will succeed. If Allah Ta'ala is not with, then you can have the largest army, you can have the greatest amount of weapons, you can have plenty of oil wells, you can have plenty of other things which put some kind of fear into people's hearts, but nothing will help. You will still be defeated. That is history. Look back at history. And when the Muslims had Deen and Iman, then if they were 313, they routed the army of 1,000, fully armed. In the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims were again in a minority. In Khandak, they were in minority. In every battle you will look at it, the Muslims were in a minority. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them victory upon victory upon victory. What was it? Because they had their foundation solid, very, very strong foundation. Without that foundation being solid, the building comes collapsing. The other day we were walking past here, so I told those brothers, I said, you see that wall there? Or if you take this building here, I said, look at all the bricks. Now those bricks, when they delivered those bricks, they were thrown on the pavement there. And those bricks were all loose. So they had to have security there. Why? Because I can take two bricks and go away, you take three and go away, that fellow takes one and go away, that fellow takes half a dozen and go away. Wow. So what will happen? Nothing will be left there. So what they did is at that time they had to have security. After that, then they brought cement and they took all the bricks and made it into a wall, solid wall. Sometimes they even have to put steel, whatever they have to do, but they made it into a solid wall. Now there's no security for the wall. Have you seen anywhere that they got a security? Because some Yunus bhai or Musa bhai, Isa bhai may cut the bricks away. So that's why I put one security here. So this wall that we are seeing around here, we haven't heard of anybody coming and then stealing the wall and going away. What he will have to do is take a hammer and break a few bricks. If he wants to steal, he'll have to take a hammer and break. Now if somebody had to take a hammer and break a few bricks here, then whoever is walking in from that door there, from there he will say there's some damage there. Somebody seems to have done some damage. Some bricks are missing from that wall. Or that wall that's outside, they say bricks are missing. People can see from far. So this is what is required. Our iman, we must make it solid, like that wall. Our akhlaq, our muasharat, our muamlat, and everything. Make it into a solid wall. When it's going to be a solid wall, then what's going to happen is that if there is something that is missing there, if shaitan and nafs has made some attack, and the person, then the person will realize immediately that there is some weakness that has come in my akhlaq, some weakness that has come in my ibadat, some weakness that has come in my salat, some weakness that has come in my iman. So that person will make plenty of tawbah, istighfar, and he will make rujoo ila Allah, turn towards Allah Ta'ala. That means he'll bring that steel and sand and cement and everything and make that wall again solid, because he realized that there's weakness. But if he left all those bricks loose, just lying around, and he didn't make it solid, then one day his namaz is gone, next day his zikr is gone, then tilawat gone, then his muamlat and akhlaq and everything has become damaged and weak, and yet the person is not even realizing. He's unconcerned and is left completely bankrupt. Everything is stolen by nafs and shaitan. So this is what this majlis is all about. It is for islah, for my own islah, That's why I speak sometimes very, very hard and harsh tones, because I address my nafs too. So we all have to look at our nafs, that where the damage has been done. What has shaitan and nafs done to this wall of ours? What is left there? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unite the Muslim ummah. And may Allah ta'ala get us all up from our ghaflat, our negligence. It is a sickness and disease of our time, this ghaflat. But wallah, again I repeat, let us get connected with our Allah. Let us bring Allah in our hearts. Not on our lips only. Lips too, it is ghanimat, at least we got Allah on our lips. But once Allah Ta'ala will come in our hearts, and the person will feel this nisbat ma'allah is something that you can feel. Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Ali was asked that when a person gets the nisbat of Allah Ta'ala, then does he recognize it? Does he know that he got the nisbat? He said, when a person becomes mature and baligh, does he know or not that he has become baligh? So this nisbat, there the person has become physically baligh, and here he becomes spiritually baligh. When he gets nisbat ma'allah, then he has become spiritually baligh. Otherwise he's still a child. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما Oh Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, we are turning towards you. You dearly love those who turn towards you. You dearly love those who repent over their sins. O Allah, you dearly love those who express remorse and regret and shame over their sins. O my beloved Allah, we are not justifying our sins. We are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. But O Allah, how long are we going to remain munafiqs and hypocrites? Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, come into our hearts. Ya Allah, come into our hearts. Allah, come into our hearts. Make us yours. Oh Allah, make us yours and become ours. How long are you going to keep us distanced from you because of our sins, oh Allah? Ya Allah, you have the qudrat to forgive sins. Ya Allah, nobody is going to question you. Oh my Allah, man has made the computer. The computer has a delete button. Ya Allah, no matter how much of information may be on that disk, but oh Allah, just one press of the delete button and everything is wiped out. Ya Allah, no matter how much of evil in our book of deeds, Ya Allah, press one delete button. My Allah, just one delete button. Mere Allah, hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim hai. Hame maaf kar de. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless us with barakat in our homes, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our lives, barakat in our time, barakat in our children, barakat in all the bounties that you have blessed us with. Ya Allah, remove our difficulties, our hardships, our problems, our trials and tests. Oh Allah, don't test us. Ya Allah, we're extremely weak, don't test us. Ya Allah, don't test us, oh my beloved Allah. We are not like the Sahaba Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Ya Allah, if we are tested, then we will sell our imans for miserable coins. Oh my beloved Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours. Ya Allah, hamare hal par raham farma. Afiyat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, bless us with good health, spiritual and physical. Our parents, wives, children, brothers, sisters, family members, whosoever is sick in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whether they are amongst us here, or they are in hospitals, or at homes, or wherever they may be. Ya Allah, bless them with complete cure from all their ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Ya Allah, cure us of our spiritual ailments. Our hearts are filled with malice, with greed, with pride, with arrogance, with evil passions and desires. Ya Allah, give us purified hearts. Oh Allah, bless us with purified hearts. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is facing around the globe. Ya Allah, make us all again have the sifat of the khairul umam. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ummah is suffering in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Sudan, Bangladesh, everywhere, oh my Allah. How much of pain it must be causing to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, if you have to forgive us, nobody is going to question you why you forgave the ummah. You will become pleased, your Rasul will become pleased, we will become pleased. And if you don't forgive, ya Allah, then the only one that will become pleased will be shaitan. Ya Allah, look at your shan of Rahimi and Karimi. Oh Allah, look at your shan of Rahimi and Karimi. Ya Allah, we have to leave this world and come to you one day. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. When the time of our departure comes from this world, take us to Madina Tayyiba. At the Rosa Mubarak, at the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah. Oh Allah, let our soul come dancing towards you. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. But if it is not muqaddar there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. All the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Our wives and children, family members and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله